Hello and welcome to Faces of CI. Today we have with us a new guest. Would you like to tell us your name and where you're from?
Sure, I'm Damla and I'm from Turkey.
And where are we currently and what are we doing here?
Right now we are in beautiful land of Thailand, in the north of Thailand, and we're in Changdao. And we are almost finishing up the second part of Towards, which is the CI conference for the 50th year of contact improvisation. And we are enjoying the nature right now. We are next to a river, you can hear the sound of it, and very beautiful here with the mountains and the clouds and a beautiful dance floor.
Yeah,
so it's a very good place to explore the dance.
Yeah, we're here. It's like a youth camp that we've converted over to like kind of the decompress from like a lot of training, but we're still doing a lot of jamming and hanging out. And yeah, we've had every morning like river stone intensive with Dolores, and we're surrounded by this river, so we figured this was a good spot to record. And do you want to tell us how you got into contact improvisation, like the first time you saw it or danced it? What was it like for you?
Sure.
Your discovery.
So I was living in California for 6-7 years, and actually my last year there, I was in my friend's house, and there was like this house gathering party, and all of a sudden these two people started doing stuff to each other, which is kind of, they were leaning into each other. They were, okay, I danced like tango before, other salsa and stuff, but it was my first time seeing someone actually doing stuff like without any restrictions to other people. Like there's no rules, there is no nothing, and yet it seems super flowy and it feels super natural. It felt super beautiful to watch, and I was like, all of a sudden, what is this, can you please tell me what you're doing? And luckily in that meeting there were like two people who were contact teachers where I was living in Santa Cruz, and then they started telling me like a few tips. Okay, so you just share weight, and then you just, in the beginning, just try not to use your hands, and what else? And then I just started basically just flowing with it, like quote unquote. And and I started going to the jams, I started joining the workshops and classes in Santa Cruz, Berkeley, and different parts of California. And that was my first time, kind of initiation to contact.
Amazing. And that's probably a really good community. I've heard Berkeley is like one of the bigger, older contact communities. I didn't know there was anything in Santa Cruz before,
but people.
I drove by Santa Cruz once, and for like, I think literally, I was on a road trip with a boyfriend, and the car broke down, and the people in Santa Cruz were the nicest people. I remember that. And then where did it bloom from there? Because now you're based in Turkey, teaching, and you want to tell us a bit about that?
Sure. So actually, there's another whole chapter in between, actually two chapters. So after California, I decided, okay, I was doing PhD there, and I finished, and I was like, I didn't want to do it, and I was super into contact, and okay, I want to follow this. So I went to South America, I started traveling in Argentina. And I was just basically following contact communities. I was in Cordoba, Buenos Aires, different festivals, many different classes from different teachers, and all had their own flavor. Kind of, I was very inspired, and I was also feeling like, oh, I really want to share this with people. So I was taking the classes from a perspective of how I can share these.
Yeah.
And I started actually just collecting all these experiences in my body. So my body started to change, my body started to relate to contact in a new way. And so after all that journey, I was in different countries like Argentina, Chile, I had some contact, and here and there, like in small communities in Mexico as well. So after that I went to Cuba, and we had that was the first Cuban contact festival, which is really cool.
Whoa.
And I met very beautiful people, and then I went to Turkey, and all of these experiences were just kind of like, I want to share this with people. And I joined an NGO, which was working with kind of people from disadvantaged backgrounds and people like kind of who are child workers or from orphanages, especially like with women, teenager women. And we were doing some camps for them. We were kind of facilitating how to swim, how to go rock climbing, as well as
be in their
like
bodies.
Be in their bodies. Yeah. They were transformative experience for their bodies, especially like from 12 to 18. That those years in Turkey, women lose their connection with their bodies, and so this camp was more oriented for, okay, like I can use my body, do something with my body. I can swim. I can go scuba diving. I can do. Yeah, I can just dance, I can move, and it's okay. It's not something shameful, it's not something that I should feel restricted. And yeah, I started, it's called Girls Without Barriers, this project. I'm a part of Dreams Academy in Turkey, and I started sharing contact improvisation along with like some body awareness and some kind of improvisation and contact and connection. Yeah, that was also very, very transformative for me personally.
Yeah, to see young girls go into this, and it probably did really shape their experience with their bodies and give them more confidence, right? Mm-hmm. Like, or how did they take on to it?
Mm-hmm. So I think the whole camp was really programmed for that. Like, kind of, they would go to the sea for the first time, some of them even, and they would just be, oh, I can't swim, and then they would be like, no, you can actually. So it's like kind of, oh, okay, I realize I can actually swim.
Yeah.
And the same with like in the dance classes, I would call them, one of them I was calling body awareness and the other one was dance classes, and not even class, like workshop more like. And at first they would be super shy, some of them, like some of them would feel like, oh, like I don't know how to touch myself and like touch other persons. I was like doing more body awareness exercises in duets, and like I was kind of creating contact points and trying to sense and listen to each other through contact points, like very basic exercises of contact. And yeah, there were really nice comments. I just collected some of them, like from the top of my head, I can remember some comments like, oh, I didn't know I could dance.
Yeah, because that's a big one.
Yeah.
People are like, I can't dance, I can't dance. And like, perfect, come to contact. You don't necessarily need to be a dancer.
When there are no rules of what is right or wrong, when there are no rules about how it's supposed to look or how it's supposed to be, then it was very beautiful, like, to actually see that transformation. Like, a transformation in the sense of perception, not even like a transformation of body or anything. It's more like, oh, yeah, I can move and it's okay. And I can do this by myself, and I can do this with the floor and with the couch and with another human being. And,
very cool. Yeah, and I find a lot of times at that age, I don't know, I've had more shy women in class and they think they're like too much, like they're not willing to give their weight and things like that. It can be like a lesson in like, oh, I'm actually allowed to do this. It's like this permission in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. I feel like permission is a big part of contact improvisation, like like all these social layers we put around us and all these things that we connect with our body, and so I'm supposed to use this body in a certain way, and I need to act and behave in a certain way, and a lot of gestures, a lot of cultural codes on our bodies, and so it's really nice to have a space where everything is okay. And of course within the boundaries of like consent, within the boundaries of, I did also a lot of consent work there, which was really powerful, like kind of asking someone, oh, can I touch you before I touch, like was changing. It was also part of the whole program that it was very important to have this consent before we actually do anything with them, you know, with their bodies, or just to remember how our bodies is ours to decide what to do, not another person.
Wonderful. How did So is there now like a contact scene developing in Turkey with all these young girls, or how is that, how did that form from there?
Yeah,
like,
actually,
what happened?
No, when I was living in the US, and there was a big, not big, but some contact scene in Turkey, which I got to meet them after I came back to Turkey, which was mainly initiated by Defne Erdur, and she did her PhD on actually contact improvisation, and she did a lot of laboratories with some groups, and from those labs there are some teachers forming up, and kind of they are wherever they are, they would facilitate some workshops, and but that kind of got disrupted during COVID time, and I also had to stop dancing during the kind of COVID time actually. And there was I feel like it was kind of building up, but there was a disruption, and then people noticed how much they were lacking contact improvisation. It was kind of, in a way, good for me as well, like, oh, now I can't dance contact, so I realized how important it is for me to do that. We were just doing some video contact exercises, some solo, like we were doing some scores with some of the people in Turkey, even on the phone, just doing some scores together. It was a good space for us to kind of think about like how much we value this. And then afterwards, after COVID, I was seeing, like, I didn't join all of these events, but I was seeing a lot of festivals were forming up, like small groups are just like started to share contact improvisation classes and sharings here and there. I would say it's still forming up, the community in Turkey, but I think it's just
new.
Yeah, it's very new, yeah. And but now it's getting more attention, I feel like. One of the things I want to share actually, when I first came to Turkey after South America, I went back to my hometown, and there was this tango community, and I enjoyed dancing tango for years, and like I wanted to just go dance tango, and I also thought, oh, why not share the contact improvisation with tango community, because the dances are already so similar in the way that there's a weight share and there's like kind of improvisation part of it.
There's this like upper arm,
yeah.
A lot of this you can do rolling point of contact.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
Yeah, we had a performance night maybe a week ago,
mm-hmm.
And we could all kind of sign up if we wanted to perform. And Dominic performed with our friend Ivan as well, who's really into this contact tango, and it was so cool to watch the like tango moves plus like helicopter rolling around the shoulder, like combining the two. So yeah, share more about this.
Yeah. So I think they are like super similar dances in a way that there's this whole element of like we are just feeling each other, listening each other, and also tango, we are also listening to the music, and so there's just kind of the community bodies was already there. Like a friend of mine, Ezgi, she was doing a lot of, she was basically doing all these workshops and classes, a lot of events around tango, and I met her and I said, like, why don't we do this together? And from there, it was very nice because the people were ready to receive contact improvisation, and all of a sudden, like, we were doing some regular classes for a month or so, and then we just had started having jams. But unfortunately, since I'm a super nomad person, like I was there and I just left that town to somewhere else, so I couldn't actually keep the community together. But as I would go back and then we would start something small and then it would fade away, kind of.
Yeah. I think Ivan first suggested tango contact, and I was like, what? This is the thing? But it really makes sense for like South American, like Latin communities that they would be into both and just blend the two. So I thought that was super fascinating and really cool to actually see that as a performance. So really cool every day.
Yeah. I remember the time when I was in Buenos Aires, we would have jams. Jams are usually like from, let's say, 7 to 10, maximum 11 or something like this in Argentina. And I would leave the contact room for jams. And then there would be a milonga somewhere, which is like a tango gathering, or yeah. It would be in a little square outside, or like in a little studio or something. And then we would go to these, as a contact people, we would go to these tango milongas, and then we would start dancing contact
portrait.
Yeah, like blender. It was very funny because like some people would receive it like with, oh, very, very nice, you know, yeah. Interesting what you're doing. And some people would be like very traditional tango yeah. dancers, like, not sure what's going on, you know.
But that's interesting. I like the blend of it. I think that even here it's the other way around. Sometimes you can be in a contact space and someone's blending the two and there's the contact hero being like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I have like a very swing dance background before contact and I feel I want to do like certain footwork or spin out that comes in even if I don't mean it to.
Yeah.
And it's like
yeah.
interesting, but like, yeah. And you're like, what are you doing?
Nice to see all these like merging points, you know?
Yeah.
Like I also see how it can be merged like with other practices. I mean, this is there are many articles on this, obviously, like
yeah.
in our library, even like meditation or like some martial arts, and how they're actually on the body level that we how we connect with ourselves and with each other, and it's so basic, like they are. You can find all these elements of being a human, being in a human body, coming together through these practices. So you
yeah.
cannot really separate all of these.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay, changing topics a little
okay.
bit. You said you've worked with people with like disabilities and blind before.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get into that, and how did they take to it? Like,
mm-hmm.
what was
mm-hmm.
this about?
Yeah. Sure. I actually don't have like a huge experience, I would say. Like I had like here and there a couple of workshops with blind people, and actually mixed group with blind people and not blind people, and it was very interesting because it was the same thing. I remember a friend of mine, she was blind, and she said, you know, I don't know if I'm going to join your dance class. I know you offer it to us as well. We were staying in this academy, Bruins Academy, like together. A kind of, there was a group of blind people. They were also doing some diving and other stuff. And then I started, like offering these workshops for everyone in the community. And these people said, oh, actually, yeah, we cannot dance. We are blind, you know. We just don't know how to dance. And like, I had no idea. Like, this reaction was like,
yeah.
wow, like, what do you mean? Like, oh, it's a thing, you know.
Because they haven't seen it done, right?
Exactly.
They haven't seen it.
And that's the point that I just realized how
yeah.
much of a dance we perceive as a dance is visual.
Yeah.
But not like body initiated.
Yeah.
It's like you just say, oh, okay, this is like a line dance, you move your legs this way, or you just see someone in the TV dancing in a certain way, and then you just like start dancing their way, and kind of how much of it is not initiated by our senses, and how much of it is more, you know, I was kind of
yeah.
asking these questions. And then I said, no, this is going to be different.
Yeah, because contact, you can start from the skills and the visual, but you can also start from extreme internal sensation and
exactly.
moving outward from there.
Exactly.
So they're already a little more in tune
mm-hmm.
with this
mm-hmm.
internal landscape.
Yeah, exactly. And very beautifully said, like exactly that internal landscape of sensations. And that's the essence of connecting to someone, actually. We start from, like, in love touch. Something inside of us is being touched too, not only the skin level. So it's like kind of coming from there. I remember, so after that conversation, we went to the workshop, and I also asked the people who were not blind to be blindfolded. And there, I was just basically doing basic contact exercises, not even something specific for blind people or nothing. It was just more about touching, rolling points, and kind of following the contact points and sharing it with the weights. And I just realized like how natural it felt. I was dancing with my friend who was blind, and then I was feeling the dance with her, and I thought, wow, you already know this. Like, I don't even need to go through this part of deconstructing what the dance is with you, you know, it's just like kind of, there was all, it was already there, that dance, the movement starts from that sensation and connecting and how we actually move, the forces, the, it's not the, how it looks, but more about like how can I move my body in a certain way with these forces, and it's there already, so we don't need to do anything extra on top of it. So, so it was very life-changing experience for me as well, like kind of, okay, what is dance? Why am I dancing? And
and how much of it is visual and how much of it is this internal experience at the same time. So it's interesting. I danced at Salt Spring Contact Festival. There was one woman who came from the Toronto Contact community who was blind, who came there, and she was an incredible contact dancer. And I had a chance to dance with her, and it was like just like dancing with any other contact dancer. And then at the very end, she was like, okay, I don't know where I am in the room, you have to take me and lead me back to my water bottle, because she's so used to like the disorientation, but like everything else is the same, and she was having like the most fun out of everybody there, and it was really like beautiful to see that.
We're going to take a short break just to talk about some exciting new projects coming out. So we have Contact Body. This is a online contact improvisation course I've been working on for many months. It's based off of the beginner's workshop I've been teaching in Ubud. It's split into two segments. So Solo Body is all about solo improvisation. There's Bartini with fundamentals and floor work and somatic practices, and it's really about tuning inwards to your own body. And then Two Bodies is about learning contact improvisation partner work. So these are two courses that are completely self-paced and available to purchase online for you to learn from home, the beginning foundations about contact improv. So if that's something that's curious to you, the full details are on contactbody.ca, because I'm Canadian. And you can learn all about that, and there's a promo video. And also, please check us out at Faces of CI on Instagram for lots of inspiration and more about our interviewees. And now one quick word from our sponsor before we continue.
Beautiful. So how do you describe contact improvisation to strangers?
Oh no, this is a dangerous question.
You meet at a party and you say, what is contact improvisation?
What is contact improvisation? Oh my god, no. Wow. Yeah, I think this answer to this question is changing a lot for me over the past years. We're also coming to Thailand and being like, I was dancing now for the 6 months almost every day contact, which is a very big luxury for me, because before that I was, oh, once a month I can dance contact, this kind of a thing. But now I'm, oh, I have an opportunity to explore on a body level all the physical sensations, but at the same time the social aspect of it, the connection, community aspect of it. So it's all together giving me different answers in each point.
Today, in this moment. See, mine changes a lot often too. It depends when you ask me.
I guess I have to say,
I'm the person that you meet at a party. It's like, what is contact improv?
So contact improvisation, this was my favorite answer. It's a conversation we have with our bodies. And there are no right or wrong way of having a conversation. We just need certain language and some words, some way of understanding and sensing and listening to each other. And basically a big part of this conversation is listening and feeling that whatever is landing, and also coming, expressing ourselves through this listening. And contact improvisation is this for me, like kind of being in this conversation, however long it could be small talk, like in the jam sometimes it could be just in touch, like touching or not touching conversation, your own conversation in the sense, everything. But yeah, it's just kind of noticing this conversation, being in the conversation by following and with your body, with your sense of humor, with your playfulness, with your social codes, with your all the languages that you've brought onto this point, all the muscles and the bones and all the movements you stored in your brain and
whole being,
happenings, and then actually not even in the doing but more in the staying in the conversation happening and just noticing what's going on and not noticing what's going on is okay too sometimes, I find.
It's such a good learning lesson to be okay with the not knowing and with being disoriented and like, okay, I'm lost, how can I find my center or reset and then go again, just like life. So
And listening to all the questions that would come up or insecurities, like, I'm just so scared to dance with this person because this person is super experienced, and blah, blah, blah. I'm so scared. Am I a good dancer? Am I doing this right? Where should I go? What should I, you know, all these is part of the experience. And how we listen, like, we also want to hear these questions that are coming up and allowing them. Maybe it will make me stop at this point and it will be physical expression of these questions. Yeah. So beautiful that it can actually exist in this space, all these emotions and questions and explorations.
Yeah, we had that performance as well. There was one performance and there was a newcomer dancer in the performance. Do you remember this with Tan, who was like speaking aloud her questions that she had in the moment? She's like, I can't dance with you, you are my teacher. Like they would be dancing and she would speak all these things happening in her head. Yeah. And it was hilarious, but it was so like relatable as a contact dancer, like all the things she was saying was like, I'm too tired, I don't want to be here, okay, now I'm having fun, and like she would just go on, and it just that was really cool too, to see that one too, the voices in her head.
Yes, I think it was, I remember that performance, and it's very powerful in the sense that how she allowed this transparency and with a lot of vulnerability.
Yeah.
And often we tend to hide all of these parts, like we just go to the jump space and okay, I'm a good dancer, let me start doing these amazing moves, lift me up, oh okay, you're a good dancer, okay, let's do like all these standard cultural things, which I'm not against, it's great, it's fun, like I really like the basics of contact improvisations, how we can learn how to move in a physical level to stay safe and to actually listen to each other with more tools. But at the same time, it's very beautiful to bring all the other human aspects of it to the dance floor.
Yeah.
Just being shy sometimes and noticing that you're shy. It doesn't mean that if you're shy that you cannot move towards, you can still go and dance with that shyness.
Yeah, how does your shyness want to move today?
Yeah.
Like, stuff like that. Exactly. Like, I love thinking of contact as more like the most self-development tool of a dance form that there is. That's why I really got hooked on it.
Yeah.
Because I was like, whoa, all this stuff is coming up. How do I deal with this?
Yes, yes.
And like, you have that too? Okay. Like, well, now what?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I think that was one of the reasons I really get interested in contact. It's just a way of connecting with myself and connecting with others from an honest perspective place where there's no promises in this space either. It's not like a contact therapy, you know? Yeah.
It's You're not guaranteed to have a good time, you might cry.
No, like there's no promise, that no one is giving any promise like to this space of like, and yet all of these things are, like I go there, let's say it's with my being, and then all of a sudden I found these stories that I just like, oh okay, I'm in this story of like, oh, getting close with someone physically, and then I just like go away, and how does it feel in my life, like the things that I get attached to or not attached to. And another perspective would be Like, I have some emotions that I can just find a place, but everyone is doing their own thing. And two people would be dancing with each other. One of them is just really following the sensations, and the other person is just really going through a big emotional, therapeutical process. Mm. And they both can exist together without actually, what is this, like, imposing their own being to each other. Mm. It's just meeting, and there are no, no promises to be given from one person to another.
Yeah,
so absolutely. Quite hopefully non-hierarchical.
There still are hierarchies. Yeah. I get annoyed with it. I see in community. Yeah. And I'm like, what do you do? There is this like purity of contact, which I also like really want to instill. And then there's like all the other things that add to it as well. But like too much of that, and it loses the contact essence. Like there's a balance, I think, between like being informative and having the tools as a base and utilizing that as this is what's in a contact space, and like adding some originality and expression and something new and innovative to make it spicy.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I really like, for example, I have all these mixed feelings about blindfold jams, but we also had this blindfold jam a couple weeks ago with Mariah and Candy. I think the other podcasters will be talking about that more. I don't know if I had
done the blindfold jam or not when I interviewed Huyen at that time. I think we hadn't collaborated yet, so we didn't even talk about that. But yeah, so me and Huyen were in another episode, listening to that one, and me and him ended up teaching a blindfold jam at the festival.
Experience, for example, I really like it because then it breaks down all the hierarchies.
Yeah.
You know, coming back to this point of like, oh, it's, we're just a bunch of buddies. Not even persons anymore. It's very transpersonal. We are just a bunch of clothes and some skin and some weight and some forces. Like, if everything becomes this holistic experience of like very interpersonal, transpersonal, and then there I feel I could actually go back to the roots of contact improvisation sometimes. Of course, like, there are certain things that we cannot do in a blindfold jam, but but there's more listening and there's more of a
I constantly have to stay curious and I don't know what's going to happen next, even more in a blindfold jam. And also, like, to me, breaking down the oh, I know this person, I'm going to have this kind of dance with them, I'm going to go and find this person and have this dance, and it's like I have no idea who I'm dancing with, and that's like part of the mystery. Like, I like to say, drop into the mystery, come to a blindfold jam. That's usually the tagline when I've been going to drop into the mystery. So that was pretty fun.
It was pretty nice.
Yeah,
and I like the big, like, as you said, like, dropping all these preconceptions about like, oh, I dance with Mariah in a certain way, and my next dance I kind of know what to do with her, and I kind of this is something I ask this question to myself, of course, is there's we always have like these prejudgments or like preconceptions, but the invitation of staying curious even within the dance, like at any moment how it can change into something different and new, and how we can look with the eyes of beginner every time. That's why it's also nice not to have, here we, in this conference, we have roles of teachers, facilitators, participants, but how can we actually drop these roles and go into a space? Show up and be present with whatever the dance, or whatever the touch, whatever the movement there is, without this idea of what I can do, or how I can dance with this person, or how,
all the mental things that come up.
Yeah.
I remember we were dancing and you were asking, what is the difference between movement and dance? Do you have an answer yet?
No.
You were asking me. I was like, that's such a good question, because I think what I like later went and like looked it up. There was like some Wikipedia whatever thing. And they were talking about like, well, it's to rhythm and it's set to music and that makes it dance. And I was like, oh, but that doesn't make sense, because in contact we don't necessarily have a rhythm, we don't necessarily have a music, so how do you define it? Because like, you were like, everything is everything is dance. Like, yeah. Eating is dance, sleeping is dance, and breathing. Mm-hmm. Like, how else were you saying? Like,
yeah, I think there was a point of deconstructing everything.
The question, we were going crazy.
Because, yeah, exactly. Like,
how,
stillness is also a part of the movement.
My cells are moving.
It's not even the expression of the form, and it's not even the feeling, so it's just kind of not finding an anchor to define anything, so there was just like big existential moments of like, what are we doing? And yeah, so, but I really like it because contact actually allows this kind of inquiries, and the same way like all these spiritual or like meditations or these different levels of inquiries, and they can find its place. Personally, I really like the presence and the paying attention to the moment, but at the same time of breaking all these patterns or like doing something like playful or interacting on a social level.
Yeah, I've had more, I think me and Minho Kyrian talked about like being disruptors in the space.
Yeah,
how to be a constructive disruptor and not constantly going around like breaking up duets or something like that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Like, how can you add elements of surprise when you feel bored in a jam instead of just laying on the floor in the corner, like self-entertainment that's adding to the space somehow.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I feel like there are so many beautiful tools, like you said, like kind of, for example, your fortune scores, like, or any kind of score, like you can pick, like, oh, okay, let me, I remember there was inspiration box we made in jam.
Yeah.
And then I just picked at some point, I was like, I didn't know what to do, I wanted to start something, and I picked something, it said, okay, join a duet. And and before, like, I really don't join duets, like, I try, I mean, sometimes I do, but if it's a very close duet in your own dance, it's just really, for me, still intimidating, because I have to tune so much, and there's so much responsibility to join, we were talking about it yesterday. And then I actually did, because it, the score said it, and all of a sudden I kind of didn't have the responsibility anymore, it's because I picked this paper, and I joined it, turned out to be an amazing dance, like kind of, you know, interesting to challenge our patterns.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't do that, I can't do this, and what is this? And
yeah, you had some interesting, because you had inspiration box. You came up with those ones, or like
what
were they?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah, they were really great prompts. I remember, like, I took some pictures of them because it was really interesting to break up patterns as well.
And anything that is, for example, I'm dancing, I notice something. Oh, this could be an inspiration for someone else.
Mm-hmm.
So I just put it in the box, and someone else can pick it. So it's just
It's similar fortune score. They're like longer. Yeah. They're longer ones, but I was like, oh, very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something I've been enjoying, like, if I'm thinking about, like, what am I taking away from, because we're kind of, like, on our second to last day, and we're supposed to have, like, a decompression meeting after this, actually. So I was, like, just having conversation with you and thinking of things, and, like, I've really gotten into the trios. Like, that's been something that's been a focus in classes and jams, and I've really enjoyed that, and I think I have been doing maybe too many duets, and that's the pattern I needed to break.
Mm-hmm.
And also just having, like, longer dances with people.
Yeah.
Like, we've had a lot more silence in jams, and, like, having a dance that's, like, an hour long or something, I haven't had that in a long time, and watching, staying with someone in the tiredness, and watching it go from, like, exuberant to tired, to meditative, to feeling, and, like, the whole range in, like, an hour. It's, like, the whole human experience in one dance. And you're like, whoa. So those would be my, like, dance takeaways. I don't know. How what are you taking away so far?
Wow. it's a lot, actually. I think on the physical level, I had a couple of injuries, like small injuries. I twisted my knee, like, totally out of the floor, but, like, something else. And I had also tailbone injuries. So on a personal level, it was very interesting to dance with these restrictions and finding new dances with this new body, with these restrictions.
Yeah.
And that was something very interesting for me, because I realized, oh, rather than seeing it as a restriction, now this is my new body. Like, not comparing to the previous state, but, like, this is the body I have right now. And how do I move? Okay, this way. Okay, how can I avoid this hurt, or how can I keep still dancing safely? So this was one thing I learned the whole conference, like, kind of, injuries can be part of the dance too, and kind of in a way that any restrictions in the body, let's put this way, you don't have to be in our ideal bodies or like most flexible or most stronger, you know, it could be
different thing. Anybody can dance. It's very tempting, and it is good to like have rest and take care, but at the same time, like, you can dance if like with one foot
exactly.
Like, it'll be slower, it'll be on the floor,
you'll
have a contact
point. Exactly And that's the other thing.
That's the other thing that I feel all these concepts around, like social levels, social
perceptions of how dance can be practiced, like with the bodies that are in certain shapes, you know, certain types, like certain age groups, and all these conversations are really, really important for me. And this other part of it was this conference. You are with many different people from different backgrounds, different countries, different languages, different levels of English speaking, for example, in the classes. This is actually showing up. And different cultural codes of the body and different ways of touching or what they mean, and all these layers. We were all dancing together. And I really like this, this merging point of social inclusion and contact, because I feel in the basics that we just touch each other as two human beings, and there's so much there already. And how can we make this even more open for everyone? How can we actually do contact improvisation with 5-year-old kids, and how can we do this in different cultures? And it's a challenge for sure. It's not so easy to. You have to change some wording, you have to change certain facilitation, certain things you have to exclude. For example, I was working with these teenager kids in the Syrian border. I was in this project, and they didn't want to touch each other, man and women.
How old were they? You said you were working with kids?
So I worked with different age groups. Yeah. This was an organization, it's called actually Art Anywhere organization. We were doing like kind of a empowerment program to circus and social circus and movement, and with Syrian refugees who are living in southeastern part of Turkey. And I got to work with different age groups, which is amazing, because I worked with 5 to 7-year-old kids, and there were some kids who didn't speak any Turkish, so I was doing classes in Turkish. So they didn't understand my language, so I had to change to the body language facilitation.
Yeah.
I had to do everything with my body language, like with just very simple instructions. And they were already super into actually touching, because that age group is just like kind of...
They're very tactile. They're used to like exploring the world with their hands and
their eyes. Like, I don't know all the pedagogical process of it, but I can say from my observations that I would say, okay, I was working with imageries, let's dance like fire, and they would just be all fire, and let's dance like water, and they would just be so in the
world. Yeah,
so it was really nice to see what worked also for different age groups, and how, for example, I was also doing kind of putting a pen in between the two fingers, and then like not dropping the pen, like giving a task and like kind of moving from there, and then afterwards they would just touch their fingers to each other.
Aww.
And then they would move with fingers, and then okay, now let's do hand to hand, and they would just dance hand to hand.
So simple, but this is like what kids need, and like
exactly. And then there is already so much expression, and now when the age group changes, like let's say 7 to 12, it's different dynamics, different questions of their...
They're starting to be out of touch with their body at a certain point.
And there I found it was more useful to do more like a bit more performative stuff, like with the kind of two kids come together and they make a scene, or like a moving scene, for example. It was called this exercise machine or something, like everyone is doing a certain movement, and kind of these movements interact with each other. So there are many different exercises, kind of finding its place with different age groups. And teenagers, it was challenging because like the girls didn't want to dance touch the boys, because that part of the Turkey is just really, really kind of...
So did you get them to interact, or you just did women dance with women, men dance with men?
No, actually, I get
you
them
did.
To interact.
Okay.
Yeah. It was just... Also, there was like this container. We were in a circus.
Yeah.
So they were already kind of moving with each other in like circus, like we're just like doing all the acrobacy, and I was working with them, so they're already kind of familiar with each other in terms of touch. That helped me, but at the same time, dancing like contact, like not I wouldn't say like okay in a form of visual, but like more about like really sensing what's going on. It becomes more sensual in a way, like the culturally. Oh, if I'm listening through my skin, someone. Oh, okay, it's something more sensual. So they actually like it was. Just, I kept the exercises very simple and very safe, like areas maybe in the hands and the arms and kind of like getting back to the
working within the boundaries of the cultural perspective that they're in, respecting what they're brought up with and religiously or otherwise, right?
Exactly.
So but still be able to dance contact. That's beautiful.
I really like weaving into this limitations of culture, age, or language.
The inclusion is really important. I love that you say that, and that's to me one of the primary reasons I really love the social dance community of contact aspect of like being able to include 7-year-olds and 70-year-olds and everything in between. We had a kid bouncing around at the festival as well,
amazing.
Who was like, we did some work around trios last night, and what did he say? He said something at the end, we were all sharing our feedback, and then he piped in, he's Ukrainian, and a friend was translating, and his experience was like, oh, I get in the duet, but I get overexcited, I get like too much, and I spin out of it, and then I find where I am and try and get back in again.
Yeah.
And like, what can I share and add to everyone else or something like that? He had a very like insightful response for someone who was like 7, and we're all like, wow, this kid's been hanging out and learning things.
Yeah.
Like,
and what I really liked about on the topic, he said, I really want everyone to feel good.
Yeah.
So I want to make sure that I don't get overexcited and just like, you know, change something about other people or like make them feel worse. It was just a super, super
genuine.
So I like that so much. I wish we had more jams like with kids and different backgrounds.
Yeah, you think they're not paying attention, but they are.
Yeah.
They're watching everything.
Wow, amazing.
Wonderful. Okay, so. I feel like you've answered pretty much everything. I have more, but let's go. I dance this practice because, if you were to finish that sentence.
I dance this practice because... it gives me the perfect balance between freedom and inquiry.
Wonderful.
And playfulness.
And playfulness. That is my favorite.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you very much. If people want to find out more about you somewhere online, where can they find you?
I don't have much online presence, but I guess they can reach me through my Instagram or Facebook. Yeah, I'm always open for it.
Okay,
that.
I'll link that in the notes. But thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Mariah.
I hope all the listeners found out some new things all about like kids and disabilities and Turkey. We covered so much today.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Damla.